This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James from the 2022 ABA Ag Bankers Conference in Omaha. We'll talk with Kirk Covington from Ag America Lending in a moment, also Fidela Uruguayan with Wells Fargo. But first, Brad Rippey is a meteorologist with USDA, takes a look at corn harvest progress by state.
If you look at the 18 reporting states, we see six of them with their harvest progress at least 10 percentage points ahead of the five-year average. Most of those states are west of the Mississippi. The list includes Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, Ohio, and the Dakotas. So the only state east of the Mississippi there on that list is Ohio. We've got progress now greater than 90% complete in Minnesota, Nebraska, and South Dakota.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Kirk Covington. Kurt's with Ag America Lending, Lakeland, Florida. Did I get that right?
Yes, sir. It's a mouthful.
And by the way, we're at the 70th ABA Ag Bankers Convention, and we're here in Omaha. You've been in Omaha before, too.
Well, let's see. This will be probably my 30th year at the ABA conference, and it seems to always cycle back through to Omaha, right? It's the center of agriculture in the Midwest, right? And it's a great city, and it's easily acceptable to ag bankers from around the Midwest. And you'll see here today, I think there's 650 delegates to this convention, which is just fabulous, right?
How important is it to have lenders from across the nation that are all tied together because of ag? How important is it to have them come together?
Well, we all share a passion for rural America. That's number one. And we all share a passion for the farmers that serve this country. And as ag lenders, we kind of view ourselves as being the most important partnership they have on their farm. Now, I know they want to say, well, it's my equipment supplier, or, it's my vendors and my seed supplier. We get that. But I think our relationships with lenders are so critically important, because without the capital that we provide them, it's hard for a farm to, obviously, they can't, they wouldn't be able to grow the business, cover their costs. And so having that relationship with the farmers is just, in my 40-year career, has just been fantastic. And, I look forward to coming to this convention all the time, because we all share the same passion.
Kurt, I just wonder, though, as we're here today, are we on the precipice of a transition in ag? I mean, really, when you look back at where we've been the last few years, pretty good years.
It's been a couple very good years, and I would say, yes, I think we're probably heading into some transitional period. I think the balance of 2022 is going to be good. Top-line farm revenue in the Midwest has never been better, whether that be corn, soybeans, dairy, other grains, and just top-line revenue has just been terrific. The challenge has been it's not always just top-line revenue, right? And so margins are beginning to get squeezed. I mean, if you just look across the landscape, almost every input cost that a farmer has is either increasing at a 10% rate or more. So, whether it's seed, fertilizer, labor, water, go across the spectrum. There is no expense that's being saved on their income statement. And so it's not just, and we as bankers look at it as top-line revenue is really important, right? It shows you have good historical yields and that you're getting good pricing. But the bottom line is what pays us back is the cash flow from the profitability of the operation. So we're starting to see margin squeeze. And margin squeeze, I think, going into 2023 is going to continue to be an issue. I don't see many of these oil-based input costs necessarily coming down anytime soon. And I mean, whether that be fertilizer, fuel, diesel, whatever that might be, transportation costs. And on top of that, I think labor as well is going to stay relatively expensive. So the bottom line is, farmers can only control one thing in their business, and that's those expenses that they have control over. They can't control the revenue, so they've got to be great managers of expenses. But I think margin compression is going to be the story starting in later on in 2023. And when you move into 2024, I think a lot of things kind of get fixed in our economy. I think you're already seeing it today that the supply chain issues are starting to kind of soften. Transportation issues are starting to get a little bit better. The ports are opening up. You can find trucks and truckers, right? I mean, we got to have both. And ultimately, I think we get to the point where we start fixing the stock use ratios in many of these commodities. So what does that tell me? Top line revenue starts dipping. Costs continue to, I think, escalate a bit, or at least stay high. And so I think you come into 2024, and I think it's going to be one of those years where we're going to be looking back at 2022 and saying how much we really miss it.
Well, and one of the questions will be, what kind of a farm bill do we have in 2023, 2024, if we have a new farm bill? What are your thoughts?
Well, that's really, 3 months ago, you know, I thought, okay, this farm bill will go through. It's a bipartisan farm bill, right? You got 70 to 80% of that being an urban-based, you know, the SNAP programs. And you tend to get agreement across the aisle and simply because it serves both the rural and it serves the urban community. With what's going to happen potentially tomorrow in the election, I think kind of flips the House. I think it potentially causes an extension of the existing farm bill, which is really, I think, not a good thing. It's never a good thing. But I think here, the things that I've been hearing, the field hearings that have been going on have been kind of unproductive and really have produced no really, issues that appear to be salient issues across the board. I'm hearing that they may reopen up all the field hearings to get better input and data. But I think the other piece to this, you know, this puzzle as well, is we've got something called reference rates on a lot of these commodities. And the reference rates quoted on many of these commodities just don't work right now. And if you extend that farm bill with reference rates for corn that are in the $3 range, as an example, it all of a sudden the commodity support programs don't work, right? The PLC, ARC, all that are all impacted by that. Not to mention, if you look at the cost of food in urban America and across rural America, if you go to a grocery store today, they say food costs are up 8, 9, 10%. I think it's more like 14%, depends on what your buying habits are. But there are people that are in need of the SNAP program. And that SNAP program is going to, at least from a decision perspective, says the entire ag pie, right, the entire farm bill pie is either going to have to get bigger, which means a larger appropriation. With current members of Congress, I think probably there's less than 180 of them that even understand the farm bill, and who knows what happens with the new crop that comes in. And you start saying, well, we're going to need to increase the size of this farm bill to cover the SNAP program and these commodity titles. And you're going to have, both on the rural and the urban side, legislators are saying, So tell me, corn's $7, the highest it's ever been, and you're telling me farmers are going to have really profitable years. Why do we need this? And there's going to be a long education process, I think, for these incoming congressmen and congresswomen. And I just think that results in just an extension of this, unfortunately, an extension of the existing farm bill, and that's going to be an issue.
Let's wrap it up with Ag America Lending. Where do we find you? I guess we could go to Lakeland, Florida, but where do we find you on the web?
Well, Lakeland, Florida is still there after the hurricane, but there was a lot of damage. So www.agamerica.com. Agamerica.com will take you directly to our website. But we have a presence across the U.S. We have offices on the West Coast. We have offices, obviously, on the East Coast and in other parts of the country, and we have representatives across the U.S. We do business in all 50 states. We originate transactions in all major 20 major sectors of agriculture, probably 200 different crops. So we're out there. We're very active. And for me, you know, even after 40-some-odd years of this, I get excited about seeing the next crop year and visiting with my clients and giving them the needed credit they have for their business.
Great to see you. Come back and see us soon, will you?
Good to see you again.
Kurt Covington's with Ag America Lending, Lakeland, Florida. We're at the 70th annual ABA Ag Bankers Conference in Omaha. I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Fidela Iriguayan is Senior Vice President of Commercial Banking, Agribusiness, Food, and Hospitality for Wells Fargo. She talks about the recession.
We feel that it's going to be much of the same. People have to eat. In the past several recessions, it has proven that ag has continued to move forward and not been impacted negatively. What you probably will see are people perhaps switching out, for example, in the protein. Maybe they're not spending as much on a more expensive steak. They might switch it to another protein form, chicken, fish, beans. We'll see some of that. And then even in the restaurant side, you may not go out to the nicer restaurant. You might trade down to something that's a little less expensive. But overall, the basic premise is people have to eat, and that is something that will always keep ag probably out of a very deep recession.
On surviving a recession.
So as everybody is aware, we've been having significant increases in interest rates, in the short-term interest rates, which impacts our customers that have revolving lines of credit for their working capital needs. So what we see is our best customers have been preparing for it. They have seen it coming. They've been building it into their operations. There could be some deterioration in the margins that they had because they have to spend more on interest. But what they are doing is pivoting and really understanding the balance of their numbers going into their expenses. And are there areas that we can cut back on? Are there other service providers that we can substitute? And even in the feed costs, for example, for the folks in the livestock industry, are there ways for us to substitute less expensive components in our feed rations, for example? So we find that the clients that know their numbers the best, who really understand the impact it's having, are going to be the ones that survive this.
That's Fidela Iriguayan from the ABA Ag Bankers Conference. It's the Agribusiness Report. If you don't push yourself, how will you know what you're really made of? Cotton Research and Promotion Program works to develop innovative performance technologies that redefine cotton's capabilities and helps athletes push themselves further. Cotton Incorporated is working hard to educate consumers about cotton's versatility, especially in the athletic apparel market. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
Farming season is coming to a close, and you and your equipment have been running hard. It's time to slow down with some much-needed maintenance. At Livingston Machinery, we can get your machines back to performance ready with the annual winter service special going on now. For a limited time, get 15% off AGCO parts, 10% off service, and 180 days no interest, no payments when you use your AGCO Plus account. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Kirk Covington with Ag America Lending. Also, Fidela Iriguayan with Wells Fargo, both attending the ABA's Ag Bankers Conference in Omaha.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report.
It's perhaps the most notable change between editions of the United Nations Climate Change Conference.
There are deep concerns going into COP27 about the cost and supply of food globally.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack, participating in COP27 in Egypt this week, says since last year's event in Scotland,
both farmer productivity and profitability worldwide and in the U.S. is being challenged. If you think about productivity, it's certainly being challenged by climate change. We've had severe droughts all over the world, including the U.S., massive storms, wildfires, really making it more difficult for farmers to be productive. And profitability is being challenged by the supply chain issues arising from the pandemic, causing high input costs and energy costs. And now Russia's unprovoked war has sort of exacerbated that challenge by further disrupting the supply chain.
With Secretary Vilsack believing discussion at COP27 must focus on agriculture production in a regenerative, sustainable, and profitable way to address food security as well as climate issues. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.